Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Special guest this morning, real honor to have 28th District House Delegate Josh Cole in this morning. He is a delegate-elect, and Delegate Cole, it's good to have you here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I have looked forward to this because you're a fresh voice and bringing fresh ideas down to Richmond this year.
Yeah, we're really excited about some of the change we can bring and just some of the things we promised on the campaign trail that a lot of people in Virginia and the Commonwealth are really excited to see done this year, or next year, rather.
Yeah, I keep saying the next session, I guess, the next session, which the session is what, January 8th?
January 8th, yes,
January 8th.
Sir.
It's a long session. You'll deal with the budget. We were talking a little bit earlier. You go into this session having a little bit more knowledge maybe than some others who've been elected and gone in. First of all, because my kids a few years ago were pages. Wow. You were a page in the General Assembly.
In 2005, former Speaker Delegate Bill Howe had appointed me to be a page for the House of Delegates. And that same year, I was appointed to be Mark Warner's personal page. I came back to the General Assembly in 2016 to work for the State Senate as a staffer. And then after the 2017 election, I went back again as a chief of staff for Delegate Kelly Converse Fowler in Virginia Beach. So we're excited. We came in a little prepared, like you said, to work the system.
So often people get in and it takes a while to figure things out because it is just the system. But boy, you know the system.
Yeah. It's a learning curve. And I've been honored and blessed to help some of our colleagues out, some of the new guys who came in with us this year. You know, they call frequently and say, hey, how do we do this? Or I want to pull this back. Or how does this work with your staff? And so it's been really an honor for them to just reach out and call and say, ask me for their advice.
Yeah, the other thing is, as a delegate, won't it be interesting if you need to get something or want one of the pages to go get you something? You're going to know just exactly how that whole system works.
That's amazing. Yeah. When I worked for the Senate, I was also a page supervisor while they were on the floor. So it's amazing that I'll be able to help them out and give them some pointers. And I promise not to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because I know sometimes that does happen. You're a Stafford High School grad, right?
North Stafford High School.
North Stafford.
I attended both.
Okay.
Stafford senior for sophomore and freshman year. And then my mother transferred me to North Stafford to do JROTC junior and senior year. And I graduated North Stafford in 2009.
Okay. Was this something in the back of your mind that you thought that someday I might like to run for some kind of elective office?
So I actually never thought I would run for office as early as I did. Even when I worked for the Senate, politics was so far out of my mind. So I never intended to run for office. But I just kind of saw some of the things that were going on that I just really didn't like. And so we didn't have anyone step up on the Democratic side back in 2017. So we did it. And I figured I would be a community leader from being a local pastor in the area and things like that. But I never thought that I would be running for office so early.
Well, and you really are kind of the face of a new wave of politicians. Mm-hmm. I think when you first got involved in this race, I think a lot of people probably looked at it and thought, you know, that's delegate. You know, that was Delegate Howell's seat.
Yeah.
And you stuck with it. It was a tight and a controversial election a couple of years ago. You mm-hmm. came back, and yes, you're the delegate-elect.
Yeah. And it's just amazing. I tell people this all the time. There's no shame. When I came out to run in, it was 2016. And I remember going to a candidate training with the House Democrats. And they said, well, we're glad you're running, but you're running against the Speaker of the House. So don't count on any financial help from us. It's going to be all on your own.
Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest motivation that I had to keep fighting. It was rough in 2017 getting started. But there's a time and a season for everything. And so here we are in 2019 and great things happen.
Well, you and you, I will say this. I remember a couple of years ago, it would probably have been 2017 on a Memorial Day. I remember you were at the National Cemetery.
Yes.
On Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And I remember I started seeing you, and you were at every event locally. I mean, you were, if there ever was an event, Josh Cole was there.
We try to be there. We're going to keep up that same momentum. I always ask people if there's events that they want me to show up, please don't hesitate to reach out on social media or send us an email. I love to be there. And I love just being with the people, hearing people's concerns and issues. Whether they agree with me or not, I still need to know what their issues or concerns were. And I really love hearing heart-to-heart to people what their concerns are.
Well, January 8th, I'm sure, is going to be really a special day for you
when you
raise your hand and go through all that.
Yeah, my mother lives in Nashville, and she is coming in. She's excited. 2 years ago, if we had one, that would have been my grandmother's 82nd birthday.
Oh, wow.
On January the 10th. And so this year, we're really excited. She'll be 84 on the Friday after. She's excited. She's here. Even though she's suffering from dementia, she knows exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
And I have family members that just can't wait to show up to see history be made. And I ran into one of our former church members yesterday at Walmart, and he said, "Man, when you won, it was like Obama all over again."
Yeah. Well, it's Union Bell Baptist, isn't it?
That's the church I'm associate pastor.
Yeah,
yes,
at. Uh-huh. And so it is. It's for your family, for your congregation, for this area,
yeah.
and the fact, I guess, that you're also going in, that you're going to go as part of the majority in the House makes you more than really just a number.
Yeah. And we're really excited because this time the ideas that we have, they actually stand a chance this year for getting passed. Previously, a lot of bills would have died in committee, or they may not have made it to committee at all. So we're really excited about some of the proposals and some of the initiatives that we can get passed this year.
How does one get ready for a General Assembly session, especially your first? I guess, like I said, you do know the ropes, but still, it's a lot of legislation that you deal with.
So since November the 5th, we've been having meeting after meeting after meeting, and I've only had two breaks. That's been Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Wow. Yeah.
But we've been having meetings with not just activist groups, but different groups in the communities like the Builders Association, Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors, the Chamber of Commerce, the Black Chamber of Commerce, school board, well, not the school board, the superintendent, and meeting with different teachers.
Yeah.
So you already have ideas of what you're going to introduce because of what you campaigned on. But you also want to hear from the city of Fredericksburg or the county of Stafford on what ideas the localities need you to introduce as well. And so I think by preparing, you need to rest. You need to take a break, get your mind ready, and communicate with some people, people who don't agree with you, people who do agree with you, and find out how can I work for everybody when we go into this General Assembly session. So, and I think many of our colleagues have been doing that.
28th District Delegate Josh Cole. Josh Cole is Delegate-Elect January 8th. He is sworn in Richmond. We will talk to him now. We'll jump in and start talking about some issues when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Delegate Josh Cole with us this morning. We're previewing the upcoming General Assembly session and getting to know Delegate Cole. One of the things, Delegate Cole, that I look forward to and makes me covering the General Assembly a lot easier. A lot of the floor sessions are streamed, and committee meetings are. So if people are interested in issues or things, it's easy to keep up. Much easier to keep up with the General Assembly now than it used to be. You know, when you were a page, you're involved in it.
That's amazing. Delegate Mark Levine from Northern Virginia actually has a bill this year that would make it that every meeting, so whether it's a committee meeting or even subcommittee meeting,
will
be live stream moving forward. So I'm really excited about the transparency we'll bring as well.
Well, with technology, it's available. Well, let's jump into some issues. And I mean, the first issue, I guess, that comes up would be guns. I mean, and obviously these Second Amendment meetings have caught everybody's attention, whether it's been in Spotsylvania, Stafford did it a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And it's a big issue.
Absolutely. And I think for many of the citizens, they are rightfully angered and rightfully cautious because they don't know what's going to happen. And many of us did campaign on what we call common sense gun legislation.
Yeah.
And for me, primarily, we campaigned on universal background checks and red flag laws. And there are people who have concerns about red flag laws. They feel as there is no due process. But I shared with a constituent earlier this morning that I believe there is due process, and we have to make sure we're protecting citizens. And so when it comes to red flag laws, we want to make sure that if someone reports or expresses concern, that it does go before a judge, that the judge has to pass judgment and say, okay, this is a considerable issue. They will send a police officer or a mental health professional out to review the situation. And then if need be, they can confiscate the weapon. But we want to make sure that people are protected. So we do know that people have the right to their Second Amendment. So these people are really rightfully justified for their anger. There are two bills that are causing major concern right about now, SB 16, which deals with a assault weapons ban, and Senator Louise Lucas's bill. I can't recall the actual SB number, but I stated at our town hall a couple of weeks ago that as those bills are introduced as is, I cannot support those. They're causing too much concern, and there needs to be some editing and some amendment to those bills, and we're waiting to see. I've heard many different groups like the Virginia Citizens Defense League. I'm looking forward to meeting with many of those groups on their lobby day on Martin Luther King Day, just to hear their concerns and see what we need to move forward. We can see what we can do. It's about communication, talking with the citizens of Virginia and see what we can do.
Well, one of the things you catch just in the first, 20 minutes you and I have talked, you are holding meetings with all kinds of people, and mm-hmm. whether they're supporters or people that are on the fence, mm-hmm. your door is open and willing to meet with people.
Absolutely. And I think what the problem we're having in America, not just in D.C., not just in Richmond, but America, is the ultra bipartisanship. People are staying only on their side. They refuse to have communication. They refuse to talk. And that's not how I was raised. So we need to make sure that I'm communicating. And someone put it so eloquently, they called me to remembrance to say, you won by a slim margin. So you have to make sure you're held accountable to the people in Stafford County and the city of Fredericksburg.
That is interesting. I'm sure that is always in any kind of elected official's mind, mm-hmm. that you are representing everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Delegate Cole with us, Delegate Josh Cole with us this morning. Right to work is an issue I know that you talked about when there was a debate at UMW in, mm-hmm. in the fall. And that appears that's going to be is going to come up before this General Assembly session.
Yeah, there was a bill introduced that I actually signed on as co-patron to repeal right to work. I can let you know that we are still trying to determine how we're going to go about doing that. And I've led the charge on that since 2017, talking about repealing the right to work. My mother's a CWA union worker in Nashville. Mm-hmm. So my family has always been about unions and helping out. I even have a cousin that's a union worker down in Richmond. So I know that many people said this was something new that I came up with in 2019, and that's just not true. But we also want to have communication with the business leaders, and I'm open to communication and hearing from others. I've been posing the question to many business owners, and I haven't been able to get a direct answer just yet. So if there are business leaders who are listening and they would love to answer the question, I would love to hear. But my question is, for those companies and those business owners that are not union workers, union companies, how would repealing right to work negatively affect them? And I would love to hear their insight on that. So that we know how to move forward. But I can tell you that we have not come to a general consensus as far as moving forward on repealing right to work.
What the name, I know sometimes, what describe what the right to work law is in Virginia.
In Virginia, and it's been in state code since the 1940s, but in Virginia, basically you can work for a union company and not pay union dues and receive the benefits of working for a union. So there are people who pay union dues and they get the benefits, and mm-hmm. rightfully so. But then there are some people who work for union companies and are not required to pay union dues, but they still receive the benefits of working for a union. And so what we have to see is, I know there has been some conversation about collective bargaining or either other measures that if you're working for a union company, that maybe you'd only pay for the services that you're getting. And if you're not accepting all the services, then don't pay for those. So we're having some very good conversation on how to pursue this. I think we need to hear from the business community from, a standpoint, not just don't repeal it. Well, give us some reasons why you as a non-union company would be negatively impacted if we were to repeal it.
The other thing is, as far as we talk about these workforce kind of issues, and you've talked about in both your campaigns about the minimum wage and favoring raising the minimum wage.
And that's another thing we've been discussing in our caucus meetings as well. If I don't know if I can share that with you guys, but we are trying to come to a consensus of how we're going to do it. We do want to raise the minimum wage. There are some of us who want to take it straight to $15. There are some of us that say, well, we need to raise it to at least $9, and then over the years increase it. And then there are some who are just saying, well, let's just raise it to $9 and then amend the Dillon rule to allow the localities to set their own minimum wage above that. So we're trying to figure out what we need to do. I think many of our small businesses would be immediately hurt if we took it straight to 15. We need to look at some kind of protections for our small business leaders if we were to do that. But I think we need to be very conscious and we need to be very smart in how we move forward. I do think we need to raise the state minimum wage. It's been the same at $7.25 for over 10 years, if not longer. West Virginia is higher than us, Maryland is higher than us, and D.C. is higher than us. So I think it is time to raise the minimum wage. We just need to have a smart and conscious decision on how to get there.
And again, I'm sure that this has come up as you've met with the chamber or other groups.
Absolutely. And so many of them are concerned about the straight jump to 15, which I understand. That would be a shock to the economy. And what we need to do is making sure that when we do this state minimum wage, that we have the input from the business community, but also from those. And I know a lot of people, especially in this region, may not be making minimum wage, but even still making $9 an hour is hard to live off of right here in the Fredericksburg region. So we need to have input, not just from the business community, but from those who literally are living off of minimum wage or even lower wages, at what we need to do to help them out the best.
I'm sure as you go around and especially as you campaign, I would think that this particular issue, a lot of these issues don't affect a lot of people or affect a lot of the issues that we'll talk about this morning. Deal with certain groups of people. This one, I'm sure, whether you're a business owner or whether you're an employee, this is something that you're going to watch closely.
Absolutely. And even from knocking on doors, there were people who I would meet who are saying they're making $10 an hour in Stafford County and it's still not enough. They have to work multiple jobs. And so I think the general consensus is maybe people in Stafford County at most, the lowest wage they're making is roughly about $9 to $12 an hour. And for those people, they are still struggling. So we have to figure out something to help them out.
The Equal Rights Amendment has been has come close to coming up for a vote. Has been bottled up the last few years. I guess it will come up for a vote probably pretty early, I would think, in the session.
That's actually HJ number one in the House.
Okay.
Delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy has introduced it. I've signed on as a co-patron. We've been talking about that for years and years and years. They've even had congressional hearings on it already this year. So I think they are prepared in Congress to move forward, whether it's amending that expiration date or whatever have you. Congress is ready to make moves on it as well, because all eyes are on Virginia now for ratifying the ERA.
And then the next step will be whatever Congress decides.
Correct. Yeah. So we amend, we ratify, and then it goes to Congress. And like I said, they've already started that communication on what they're going to do with that. So they're already in preparation for us to ratify it as well.
Delegate Josh Cole with us this morning on News Talk 1230 WFE. Have you already figured out, are you gonna live down in Richmond during the session? Are you going to commute back and forth? See, everybody does different things.
Yeah, I probably would do both and.
Yeah.
Depending on how early committee meetings are or how late the evenings are, I may have to stay in Richmond. I'm honestly not a morning person, so I would have to stay in Richmond on early committee meetings. And other than that, I don't have a problem commuting. I've actually worked in Richmond for the past 3 years, commuting back and forth, so I'm used to the drive by now.
Well, and the fact that you were chief of staff for a delegate in the House, I think that would probably give you great insight to everything, as especially the early days of the session.
Absolutely. So I've already hired a chief of staff and an LA for our office, and I've already given some pointers on what to expect in the session, how to prepare our office and how to line things up. And they said when they both went to LA training, they were already ahead of the game. And some of their colleagues down there are reaching out to them to say, hey, can you help us get ready too? So I'm excited.
Well, and I think for this area, this speaks well, because I know when Delegate Thomas went down there, because he'd had the experience on the Board of Supervisors, he knew the workings. You certainly know the workings. Yeah. And that just, that for our area, there's not any on-the-job training here.
Yeah, it's you. As soon as you win, the election day was November the 5th. That next Friday, the week right after, we were thrown into orientation.
Give you any time to rest.
Time. Then a few days later, we were given our credentials to start filing bills. So we were literally thrown right into the fire. As someone said, it's like drinking straight out of a fire hose.
Yeah, no, I have heard that a lot. And then just all the different meetings, you know, that you've talked about, and having to meet with I guess both friend and foe, and just listening like
Absolutely.
You do. I mean, you're a great listener. I'll say
thank
that.
You. Thank you.
I'm sure you lay awake at night or wake up in the morning and think, have I done this? Have I done that? Or I need to do this kind of thing.
That was actually what happened this morning.
I mean, which is natural. I mean, the General Assembly moves. It moves quick. And every day it's nonstop.
Yeah, it's amazing to think that in 60 days, that's considered a long session. We literally have 60 days to pass all of our legislation in the House, get it out of committee, do crossover, and do all of the Senate bills and pass those as well. So it's really fast. It's really fast paced. And we have to make sure that we're doing what we believe is best for the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Delegate Josh Cole here this morning. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We've gotten some questions in this morning. We'll get to those and continue to talk about issues with Delegate Cole when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is coming up on 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Delegate Josh Colin this morning from the 28th House District. He'll be sworn in on January the 8th, the start of the 60-day General Assembly session, and we get him this morning. It's good to have you here. This is one of your first radio interviews, so we're glad we got you here, Delegate Cole.
I'm glad you extended the invitation. Thank you.
So we will stay in close touch with you especially as the session goes on, but over the course of the next few years. We've gotten a couple of people have texted in questions, so I want to get to those. One listener texted in, love to hear his views on expanding affordable health insurance options for all Virginians.
Yeah, that's a major concern for a lot of Virginians, even when we would do our polling consistently on both sides, both the Republican side and the Democratic side. We found that healthcare was a major concern for people. Now, I can't profess to be a Medicare expert, healthcare expert. So I would love to hear from people on their thoughts on how we can do that. I do know that I have co-sponsored a bill with a few delegates to cap prescription drug costs for insulin. And that's one way we can do to help make things affordable. But as far as businesses, we want to make sure that they have the safe option to choose their options when they want to do healthcare for their workers to make sure that they can afford it. The ears are open. There are a few doctors in Richmond that have their pulse on how we can do healthcare. And healthcare is such a tricky and such a vast issue. I have no clue, but I'm open to hear what others suggest. And I had some great communication with some families over the course of the election. And so I would love to hear how others view, especially from business leaders, how we can ensure that healthcare is affordable for them. But of course, expanding the Medicaid, we'll get to do that again this year. Capping prescription drug costs, we get to do that this year as well. So I'm really excited for those who are what we call low income or working class citizens, how we can help them out that way.
But it's a big issue, and just like you say, it's sometimes, I mean, no one can understand. Mm-hmm. It is hard to understand, but I guess piece by piece, and like you say, for the families that are involved in this, this is you know, in a lot of cases determines, you know, can they keep their home? There are a lot of issues here.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that's one of the biggest issues, if not one of the greatest issues we're facing right now in our communities is the healthcare problem. There are people, I know people personally, who do not have access to healthcare because, one, they make too much money for the Medicaid expansion.
Yeah.
And regular healthcare, whether it's through the marketplace or whatnot, is just too expensive for them. And so there are people who are caught in the gap. And we want to let you know, hey, you are seen. We're trying to work to see what we can do to alleviate that for you.
One other question. Someone asked about an education question. With the Disabilities Educational Act has been severely underfunded mm-hmm. at a national level, which causes serious hardships for special ed classrooms statewide and locally. What can be done to help fill the gaps that our special needs children have to get complete access to a complete education?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Someone who went all the way from elementary, middle, and high school with an IEP. And being a behavior aide in the Richmond school system and working with students with disabilities, it is a big issue that we need to focus on. Delegate Bob Thomas introduced a bill last session that wasn't passed. It was left in appropriations, amending the Child Services Act to allow the localities to do what they need to do for special education. We're also looking into that as well, to reintroducing it and see what we can do. I'm open to having some more communications. We need to make sure that we've had so many different discussions with family members in the community on how we can do that. And again, I'm open to discussion and see what we can do. I think that the governor's budget, I know a lot of people have issues with the budget as it's come out, but I think he's done a great job by allowing us as a General Assembly to make moves, to make measures what we can to help out and maneuver that budget. So I think there's some leeway in the budget and what we can do to help out as well, whether it's more funding for special education, more funding for paraprofessionals in the schools. I'm really looking forward to see what we can do this session.
And that's a great point that, you know, whether it's bills being introduced or the governor's budget, mm-hmm. how things look today in December.
Yeah.
When we get together after the session and talk about things, mm-hmm. things could be much different.
Absolutely. I think when we look at the governor's budget, there was like a 3% raise for teachers. And so a lot of people are up in arms. And I think what we get to do is we as a General Assembly session get to go in and amend the budget, put our input. And he's left such a heavy leeway as far as what's money is left over for us to do in the budget that I can most likely assure you teachers are going to see a greater raise than just 3%. We'll see greater funding for transportation, for special education, for other issues. I think the governor has left leeway for us to do that.
Another question from the same person, and you kind of answered it in one swoop just there just a second ago, but this person writes, any hope for much smaller classroom sizes?
Yeah.
But you sure hear that from, I know in Spotsylvania and Stafford anyway, teachers talk about that.
The major concern that we're seeing right now is we're losing teachers, especially in Stafford County. We're losing them to Loudoun County for Fairfax because they're being paid more. So we have to make sure that our teachers are paid better. We have to make sure that teachers are appreciated for the work that they're doing. Because a lot of teachers feel underappreciated. And a lot of teachers feel like they can't afford to live in the localities where they're teaching. So they're finding other options. And sadly, we're also finding teachers that are just leaving the profession altogether. Because whether it's unruly children or whatever have you, they're leaving. They feel underappreciated. So we want to make sure that in the budget we do that. And by increasing recruiting for teachers, we can push down those classroom sizes. I know I've heard stories, to say horror stories, of classrooms up to 35, 40, even more than that. And I remember when I was in Stafford schools, the largest class you would have would be about 30 or 35 students. And it's really hard to focus when a teacher needs to focus on that many students, especially when you have a student over here who's doing this and a student over there that's doing that.
Yeah.
It can be very difficult for them.
Yeah. And also when you have teachers that have several classrooms and you're talking about learning just names of over 100 students.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Especially when you have students like elementary school or middle school or high school.
Yeah.
When they're changing classes every term. Yeah. It's really interesting.
So there are issues. The other thing we could spend a week talking about transportation. So we're obviously not going to in just a few minutes here deal with it. But every weekend, every day, transportation is an issue around here.
It's a major issue. We had those two reports that came out back to back earlier this year and last year that talked about how traffic between Washington, D.C. and Fredericksburg are one of the most, if not the worst, in America. And we put a couple different bills in. We're having communication to see what we can do. But I put in a bill, what we'll be putting in a bill, it hasn't been filed yet, that we restrict construction on the major roads like 95 or Route 1 to certain hours. So no longer during rush hour or during the day will we see major road construction on those roads. We also put in a JLARC study to create a regional transportation authority. I had initially put in a bill to create a regional transportation authority, but under the guidance of Mr. Mark Dutenheffer, who's a supervisor in Stafford County, he suggested doing a study instead, which I thought was a great idea. We put in for a JLARC study. And so hopefully we get some great results after 2020 so that when we go into the 2020-2021 session, we'll know what to do with that. And hopefully we can get some of the members of the Board of Supervisors and city councils to go on board with that.
Well, it just occurred to me because you mentioned Mark Dudenheffer, Matt Kelly from the city. There are several local elected officials who have a lot of experience with transportation that I think you could probably call on to get some viewpoints on.
And we've had some great discussions with FAMPO and George Washington Planning Commission, and so that's also where the request for the JLARC study came in as well. Instead of just plowing forward to do RTA. And I think that's the great thing about having communication. You know, with me having some bright ideas running to plow through, you share those ideas with people and are like, ho, come on back a little bit.
It will be interesting to talk to you after this session, just because I'm sure you will see some things and have some insight that you can't possibly have right now.
Absolutely. And I'll give you one. We have a bill, HB 109, dealing with no out-of-school suspension for nonviolent behaviors. And while it sounded great in the premise, we've had some great feedback from teachers who say, well, you need to define what nonviolent behaviors is. Or what about if a student brings a vape pen to school? So we've been having some great communications, and I'm excited with the amendment language that we can introduce when we get into committee dealing with that bill.
I'm sure as a candidate, you're excited and you're running for certain reasons because of some of these issues, but I would think that now that you're elected and just like that you as you start to narrow things down, that's got to be exciting too.
Yeah, it's exciting. We have to be cautious. I've had some great friends of mine and some great people who knocked on doors with me that are like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, and I said, I understand that's what you want me to do, but I alone and not the General Assembly. So
yeah.
We have to see what we can do. And I think a big thing is also compromise. Even being in a majority, we're going to have to compromise some of our issues to see what we can actually get passed. And for me, it's not all about not doing anything. It's about compromising to make sure we can at least get something done so that we can say, hey, we have a victory and this is what we should need to press forward for.
Wow, the word compromise, you have not, lately, we definitely don't hear it in national politics. To hear it come up in state politics we just don't hear it anymore.
Yeah. And I think when we look at Richmond has never been as polarized as Washington, and I pray we never get that way.
It would look
as if we're going that route, but our goal is to pull back as much as we can. We need to compromise. We need to come together. And you know, some of my advice from my colleagues is, you know, don't get too big-headed. You know, we have power. We have the majority. And I'm really grateful for the leadership that we have in Speaker Designee Eileen Filicorn, who's principled, who is cautious, and we know what we can do and what we cannot do. But I'm still excited that we have some progressive leadership, that there are some things that we promised running as progressives that we want to see done, that we're going to get done as well.
And I think that's so many of these issues that we have talked about this morning, they've been entrenched and they have not moved. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see just the shape of things and really the shape of Virginia going forward.
Absolutely. And I think many people are excited about it. And so what we really have to do is listen. That's the key thing. Listen to Virginians, those we agree with and those we don't agree with. And I think we cannot forget, and this is incumbent upon me to say, we cannot forget rural Virginia. We look at our new leadership. Majority of the new leadership comes from out of Northern Virginia. But we cannot forsake Southwest Virginia, rural Virginia. We have to listen to them as well. They have valid points. They have struggles that we need to help out with. And they need to be included in the state budget. They have to be included in legislation. And we have to listen to everybody in the entire Commonwealth.
I know over the last couple of elections that you were in, one of the issues that you really were were always passionate about, I noticed when questions were asked, was criminal justice reform.
Yeah.
That's a big issue for you.
Yeah, and if you watch today, the House Democrats were releasing our bills on specific days dealing with specific issues. So today, bills will be dropping on criminal justice reform. So I'm really excited. I have a bill in that would take the age that you can try minors as an adult from the age of 14. In Virginia, you can try them as young as 14. A bill I have would raise it up to 16 years old. We also have a bill dealing with discovery in Virginia. If a prosecuting attorney finds exonerating evidence, they have to introduce it into the court case. We're seeing different things as probably trying to bring back parole in Virginia, raising the felony threshold to $1,000. There are so many different things that we're dealing with, criminal justice reform, that you're going to see probably released today or within the next few hours. So I'm really excited that we can make a progressive move in criminal justice reform in Virginia.
What do you think about what do you think will happen to the marijuana laws?
That's a big question as well. I know Delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy and I are working specifically on a bill for those who have previously been charged to see what we can do to exonerate them. There's been big discussions happening about either one to legalize or decriminalize. And I think we're moving forward. I think there's going to be something done. What it's going to be done this session, I'm not too sure yet. But I think there will be something done, whether it is legalization or decriminalization.
Whew. This is only a part-time job for you.
It is, yes, sir.
The amount of hours you spend for a part-time legislature, it's just staggering.
Yeah. Someone recently asked me, why would you do all that you did just to get a part-time job that pays $17,000 a year? And I said, to me, it's not the money that's the issue. It's about the lives that we can change. And from growing up here in Stafford County, you know, growing up in Black Stafford County, growing up in even the rural parts of Stafford County, yeah, Wildcat Corner, you see many people who struggle, whether it's Black individuals, whether it's white individuals, our Latinx communities. The issue is struggling, not the issue of race, not the issue of poverty. The issue is struggling. And so while poverty is an issue, while race may be an issue for some, we have to fight in the General Assembly to help everyone that is struggling, whether they're male, whether they're female, LGBTQ, whatever the issues are, we have to fight to help people that are struggling. And that's why I ran, to make sure that people who were forsaken or forgotten, who felt like they weren't seen, that they would have a voice in me.
I am sure. I can't imagine what it must feel like, because I'm sure that just your story and the fact that you know, you grew up in Stafford County, mm-hmm, and now are at this level, it's encouraging, I would think, to a lot of youth and a lot of kids who think, you know, I can do that someday.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I've been through about four schools already since the election day. And when the young people hear our story, to hear that I'm only 29 years old and that I was 26 the first time I ran, the eyes just blow up. They're like, what? And to hear that I graduated from a Stafford school, it's really amazing for them. And that's been one of my big encouragements as well. You know, never let anyone hold you down. Never let anyone tell you what you can't do. Because if I listened to all the naysayers in 2016 and 2017, I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember, because you mentioned, you know, how you didn't like the direction of the state and the way things were going, and that's what got you involved. Do you remember the moment that it occurred to you and you just decided, I'm going to run?
I do. So actually, after the 2016 General Assembly session from working in the Senate, I was just like, I've never gotten heavily involved. You know, I knocked on a few doors for Obama and for a few people locally when I was a kid, but I never heavily got involved. And I said, no, this year I'm going to work on one of these House campaigns when they come out in 2017. And I remember Candy Hilliard, who ran against the speaker in 2015. Mm-hmm. We met, we sat down and we talked. And I asked her if she was going to run again because I wanted to be a strong volunteer. We had like a 2-hour conversation at the Starbucks in Massaponics. And after we finished, she said, well, I'm not running again, but maybe you should. And I was like, no.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because at that time, what, you were 25, 26.
I was 26 years old. That was in October of 2016. And that set me on the trajectory of tossing with the idea. And I think we officially made up our mind in December of 2016. And we announced in January. And that was a journey in and of itself. There were people who said, oh, we're behind you fully. And there are some people who said, and one of my strongest supporters this year, she said to me, and I remind her, she said, she doesn't remember saying this to me.
But you remember
she it. She said to me, she said, oh, well, that's nice. Well, I hope you're going to run 2 times because that's usually what it takes.
Wow. I guess, reality there.
Yeah.
And just to get up to speed on all of these issues, and again, you were down there and you knew them, but mm-hmm. still to formulate your own and to be able to articulate yeah. your thoughts on all of these issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took some time. There were some things that I knew that I wanted to fight for. There were some things that I had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, even the healthcare thing that would come up. Someone had to educate me on the Medicaid expansion. Someone had to educate me on the Menhaden fisheries down in Virginia Beach. Someone had to educate me on introducing resolution. So all of these things may not be a big deal to somebody, but somewhere else in the Commonwealth of Virginia, it's a big deal to them. And so I think it's very imperative that we understand. And the General Assembly is just not a one shoe fits all. You know, you have to have all these different views from all these different parts of Virginia because we all represent yeah. everybody.
The delegate from Stafford, our guest this morning on the show, Josh Cole, is here from the 28th District. Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Delegate Josh Colin with us this morning. He is the delegate-elect in the 28th District, the House District. It includes Stafford and the city. January 8th is when the General Assembly will get going. One more issue, and then we'll talk about Delegate Cole, how we can get in touch with you. But we've seen it in other states. We've seen it come up in Virginia. The whole idea of free access to community colleges is that something that you see that will be dealt with this session or talked about?
Absolutely. The governor has actually put in for his budget this year. His G3 program, I believe it's called, Give Back. I can't remember what the full
yes, because we've done
G's
we've somebody from Germana. We did a show on that, and I can't yeah. either. But yes, that is yeah. the that's
and,
what
and
it
I
is.
I think what people are, while it's being advertised as free community college, it's really not free community college. It's what the state is giving. We're based off of the Tennessee program that they did for those who are going to community college, who are getting scholarships and they're getting grants from federal and state, whatever is left over is what the state would cover. And I think that's a great way, and it's specifically for low-income mm-hmm. and struggling families. And I think that'll give a lot of students a leg up. And we know in Virginia, one of the great things that we have is the program that if you go to a community college, you're automatically guaranteed acceptance into yeah. a public university. And so while these students are doing that in the community college, whether that Germana, Nova, VLCC, or wherever, they'll be able to save up some money or fight for some other scholarship. So by the time they get to VCU or by the time they get to UMW, they'll have money saved up and that they won't have to burden themselves with more student loans.
So something to watch for. One other real quick thing. I know that there's been talk about eliminating the need for to have an excuse to vote absentee.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that sometimes becomes an issue for people.
It is, yeah. And so the bill has been introduced consistently for a couple of years. I remember in 2016, Senator Miller, of blessed memory, he recently passed away after that session, introduced a bill for no excuse absentee voting for seniors over the age of 55,
oh, okay.
I believe. But we do have bills this year. Delegate Charnell Herring introduced a bill that would allow for no excuse early voting, as we call it. And so we're looking at a lot of sweeping reform for easy access to voting for citizens of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
How can people get in touch with you? Because I know that, I mean, you seem like the person, I mean, you want to hear from people.
Yes. And so people have already been reaching out, whether it's for gun legislation, whether it's for education. People have already been reaching out. But if people want to follow me, they can follow us on social media. It's at J. Cole, the number 4VA. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Our official Twitter handle is just at Joshua Cole. Our website is jgcole.org. That's jgcole.org. And while we're in Richmond, they can still reach out there. But our official contact information is Del J. Cole. That's D-E-L J. Cole at house.virginia, spelled out, .gov. And our office number is 804-698-1028. And that's how they can reach us during the session. Our office is E218. So if you're in the Pocahontas building, don't hesitate to come and visit us in E218 on the second floor. So we always have an open door. Come and see us. Come chat with us. And my chief of staff, Eric Sundberg, would love to hear from you all.
We will put all this on our Facebook page, too, so people can have quick access to you. Delegate Call, it's great to have you come in and for a very first time, and we will do this many more times. Thank you so much for coming in and talking about a lot of issues. An interesting General Assembly session coming up.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. And looking forward to all the conversations we may have for it.
From the 28th Thanks District, Delegate Josh Town Cole.
Talk.
See you tomorrow.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. The financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.